And I want to read two verses. Revelation, first chapter, verses 9 and 10. Hallelujah. You know, I get excited about the presence of the Lord. I remember in Oklahoma, a long time ago, we were preaching revivals there. And we went to camp meeting. And I believe it was Brother Curtis Spears who was preaching in the daytime. And one thing, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad for me, but I've always made it a practice to preach with the preacher. And when the preacher is preaching, lots of times many things come to my mind in the Word of the Lord. And Brother Spears was preaching, and he was just blessing my soul. It wasn't a shouting message, but he was preaching the Word of the Lord, and it was just blessing me and moving me, and people were saying amen and hallelujah. By the way, we sing a lot of hallelujah here. Does anybody know what it means? You don't know what you're singing? Then maybe let me inform you so it'll feel better. When you say hallelujah, it means I give myself to you, Lord. Jah. Jah, that's the word of praise for Jehovah. Jah. Praise. And you, when you're saying hallelujah, you're saying I'm giving myself to you, Lord. Now, if you're not giving yourself to him, you might not ought to sing that until you can. But if you do, what a pleasure. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Let's read tonight in the word of the Lord. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And just the first phrase of the next verse. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Let's love Jesus and then we can be seated. Lord, we love you tonight. We're so grateful for your presence. God, we're so grateful to be a vessel of your presence. Oh Lord, we are so glad that you're our God and that you live in us and walk in us. And that we have the privilege of recognizing your presence, Lord. Jesus, let us be more aware of your presence, Lord, tonight. Guide us and direct us. Speak to us. Put the words in our heart and in our mouth tonight. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to preach tonight from this subject, or teach. Well, no, I'm not going to teach. I'm going to preach. In His presence. In His presence. I love it, that song that sister sang. In Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come fill this place and change the atmosphere. Ah, your Spirit's what my heart longs for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. As I was saying about camp meeting in Oklahoma, Brother Spears was preaching. And people were saying hallelujah and amen and so forth and so on. And before I knew it, I didn't have time to think about it. Sister Allred was sitting by me, and I think it embarrassed her. But it was just a cry came out of my soul. And before I knew it, I was out in the aisle, and I was saying, hot dog. I was just feasting on his presence. It was so rich and real. It was tangible. And that just was an exclamation of how I felt. Hot dog. This is good. Hallelujah. Amen. If you feel like hot dog, you won't bother me at all. Now, maybe I am going to teach tonight. We're going to look at some words here. John. John is the one that leaned upon Jesus' breast. John is the one that when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me this night. And each one of them began to say, who is it, Lord? It was John that was leaning on the breast of Jesus. They were sitting down eating. He was leaning on. He said, who is it, Lord? And the Lord said, it's the one that I give the sop to. Did you know the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him? Hallelujah. The Lord, if you walk with Him, He will tell you what's going to happen. And not only that, He'll tell you what to do when it happens. But if you're just going through life and just going from day to day, He probably won't. But I want to encourage you tonight that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, that God dwells in you. He doesn't come and go. He is with you every minute of the day or night. I'm telling you, the joy of a relationship with Jesus Christ is beyond compare. Now, Pastor will relate to what I'm fixing to say. It is such a pleasure, Pastor, to be awakened out of a deep sleep and the presence of the Lord come upon you. One, two, three, four, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Not rock, but 5 or 6 o'clock. You know what I mean? That His presence just is manifested to you. And it's like He's right there. And He is. And as John had the privilege of saying, who is it, Lord? You can say, what is it, Lord? What do you want? Now, Samuel, you have to learn to respond to God. Samuel, the Bible said, he did not yet know the Lord. And the Lord spoke out in the night to that young boy, said, Samuel. It was so real, he got up and went to Eli and said, what do you want, Lord? Because he was his Lord, not capital L, but Lord, his master. He served Eli. Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. He goes back to bed. And the Lord says, Samuel. And Samuel goes to Eli and said, what do you want? You did call me. He said, no, I didn't call you. I think that might have happened two times and then or three times. I don't remember. I didn't read it recently. But finally, that old Eli was backslid. He said, the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. But the Lord spoke to Samuel in the night. And you know what? He had the good sense to respond to God. And then Eli finally realized, when he speaks again, say, here am I. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And I'm telling you, if the Lord wakes you in the night, well, you say, no, I just woke up. I don't know why I woke up. Well, are you God's child? My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. The Lord doesn't scream at you, but He will speak to you. And if when you awaken in the night, you may be troubled. You may go to bed with a burden on your heart. You may have a worry. You may have a problem. You may be in a difficulty. But if you will be tuned, He will talk to you. Now, that won't supersede the Bible. He never says anything that's contradictory to His Word or what the man of God preaches. So you can just forget that. He will speak to you. And when He speaks to you, that old song says, He speaks in the sound of His voice. It's so sweet, the birds stop their singing. And the melody that He speaks to me, you know. I'm telling you, it is precious to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. in his presence. Now, I want you to notice about John. It says, he is your brother. Why is John the Revelator my brother? We got the same daddy and the same spirit. Amen. But notice what he said. Not only is our brother, he is our companion in tribulation. Now that is not a capitalized word. It's not talking about the great tribulation. Because John wasn't in the great tribulation. But he said, I'm your companion in tribulation. Tribulation, I looked it up right before church. It just simply means a difficult time, a hardship, a time of trouble. Now, of course, nobody in here has trouble. It's like the little boy's t-shirt said, here comes trouble. No. There's not a one of us in here tonight that have not experienced trouble, that have not had troubles in the past. There are some of you that are in trouble. You're in the midst of trouble right now. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not in trouble right now, you will get into trouble before too long. I'm not talking about trouble with the law. I'm not talking about trouble with the pastor. I'm talking about difficulties will come. Now, in the Bible, have you ever read the word patience? Let me tell you what patience is. Patience is bearing up under difficult times without complaining. Without whining or sniveling. Without looking for sympathy. Because God is able to make you stand. Sister Anita, I love that song. I wish I could get a copy of that. She signed that song, Hold On. I know it a little different, you know. I'm going to keep on holding on. Going to keep on holding on. The devil may try to turn me around, but I'm going to keep on holding on. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 And so notice this. John said he was our companion in tribulation. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. I know you think you're a special case. You ain't no special case. He's not trying anything out on you that he hadn't tried out on somebody else. And there's people around you tonight that have gone through exactly what you're going through. So quit whining and sniveling and get into his presence, and it will change everything. It makes the difference. And so John says, companion in tribulations and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Now, why do you say the patience of Jesus Christ? Because Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Think about that. All right. Now, let's go on. He said, was in the isle that is called Patmos. The Isle of Patmos is in the Aegean Sea. Now, the Aegean Sea is located on the northern part of Turkey, between Turkey and Italy. It's called the Aegean Sea. There's several islands out there, but one of them is the Isle of Patmos. The Isle of Patmos was a penal colony. During the time of John the Beloved, by the way, he is the only apostle that died a normal death. Now, he had some abnormal experiences. He was boiled in oil. I don't know if it was canola or Wesson's. I don't know. Motor oil. I don't know. But he was boiled in oil, but he jumped out and lived. So that meant his body must have been scarred. He was banished to the Isle of Patmos by Domitian the Roman emperor. And he was banished to the Isle of Patmos for the word of Jesus Christ, his testimony. He preached Jesus. He's called John the Beloved. He is the one that Jesus commended his mother to. He said to John, "Behold thy son." And he said, or he told Mary, "Behold thy son." And to John, he said, "Behold thy mother." And so he took care of Mary until her passing. And so he finds himself in an old age. He finds himself on the Isle of Patmos in the Aegean Sea for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. The Isle of Patmos, as I mentioned, was a penal colony. It was virtually treeless. It was barren, full of rocks. It was not a very big place. I think it's at 50 square miles. Not a very big place. It was rocky. It was rugged. And it was a place where the Romans sent prisoners to be punished. Some of them died during their punishment. The Isle of Patmos was a salt mine, and the prisoners worked in the salt mine. John, an old man, was sentenced to that. Not because he broke the law, but because of the testimony of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. But the point I want to talk about tonight is in the first phrase of the 10th verse. With all those adverse circumstances, old age, that's tough. Getting old is not for sissies, but he was an old man. He's banished to an isle. His companions are prisoners, criminals, hardened criminals. Not the people that you'd want to live next door to. And he found himself in that unsavory place. He found himself at an old age working in the salt mines. And yet it says on the 10th verse, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Now, the Lord's day in the Bible is Sunday. The Jewish people worship on Saturday. They are Sabbath keepers. The Lord gave it to them for a memorial forever. They were not to defile it. They were not to pollute it nor corrupt it. But the New Testament church worshiped on the first day of the week, as well as every other day, but the first day of the week. They gave their tithes and offerings on the first day of the week. Paul said that on the first day of the week, let everybody lay inside as God has prospered him. They celebrated communion on the first day of the week. And they worshiped on the first day of the week. When Paul wanted to reach Jews, he went to the synagogue on Saturday, the Sabbath, because he wanted to reach the Jews. But when he reached the Gentiles, they worshiped on Sunday. And that's why you worship. But don't let nobody tell you no Pope change it. No, 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 no. No, no, not that. But in spite of all of the adversity, just think about the shame that went along with that. I would be so ashamed if I found myself in jail. I've visited jails. I've visited federal penitentiaries. I've been locked up in there. Went in there to baptize some men in Soledad prison. That is a bad place. And I'm telling you, for just a few moments, I was scared witless. When that chaplain led me through that big old iron door, and it opened up, and when we stepped inside and it went clunk, I thought, oh my God, I'm locked up in here. They made me sign a paper that if I became a hostage, there would be no rescue team coming. And when that door slammed shut and I heard that electric bolt going up, God, what have I got myself in here? I'm locked in here. And they led me out in that yard, Brother Arnie, and there were gobs of these big, muscular guys, and there was a big sand pit, and they were all in it, and they were pumping iron. And this old white boy walked in there, buddy, and they all stopped. And they looked at me. And the chaplain was a little skinny pipsqueak kid guy. And I thought, he ain't no help. And then I became aware, Brother Fisher, of the presence of the Lord. And David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm going to read to you in a minute. He said, 1,000 may fall at your right hand and 10,000 at your left hand, but it will not come near you. And something came up in me, and I just said in my heart, bring them on. It don't matter. Why? Because I didn't walk into that jail by myself. Oh, that chaplain, he didn't like me. I didn't like him. I just didn't want to be around him. But I had to go through him. I spent 2 months trying to get permission from that Yahoo to get in the prison. He didn't want me in there. And he walked, when he went in there, he said, oh, you're going to baptize them in Jesus' name, aren't you? I said, what do you think, man? I'm going to baptize them like the Word of God says. End of story. I just went in there to baptize one man. Put him down in the water in that little plastic swimming pool. 5 more men walked up and they said, will you baptize me, Pastor? I don't want that guy to baptize me, but I want somebody that believes the name of Jesus that will baptize me. And I said, sure, come on. The presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. And John, in that horrible set of circumstances, in that mess that he was in, he didn't do anything to get there but just tell people the Word of God. And he's banished to the Isle of Patmos. There's no saints there with him. There's no church. There's no nothing. He's working in the salt mine. He's old and he's feeble. And oh, what a business, surrounded by all kinds of despicable people. But the man said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice behind me. I'm telling you, it don't matter where you are. If you can be in His presence, if you would just be aware of His presence, if you just understand that wherever you go, He goes. Hallelujah. I'm the temple of the living God. God said, I will live in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. That may not bless you, but it blesses me. Hallelujah. In all of those terrible circumstances, John could have sang, you know. Well, we could have sang any. He could have sang a lot of things. He could have said a lot of things. He could have said, I'm sick, disgusted, and blue. He could have said, send my mail to Tijuana jail. He could have done a lot of things. He could have felt sorry for himself. And he said, he could have complained to God and said, is this what I get for serving you, God? How come you let me get here? No, there was none of that. Because he knew that wherever he was, God was. Hallelujah. And he knew that he could call on the Lord, and the Lord would hear him. And not only hear him, but answer him. Praise the Lord. There is something awesome about being aware of the presence of God. So in a salt mine and a penal colony, in spite of all that, the first words out of his mouth, not the first, but several, first few words, was, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Let me read you a verse, and then, well, several verses. Listen to this. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thou wilt show me the path of life. The Lord knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows where you're going to be. He knows what's going to be doing. He knows about it. He knows the future. You don't know the future. I don't know the future. But I know this one thing. He holds my future. I know this one thing, that He's prepared for me. And notice this. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Now listen to me. 2 Peter, the first chapter, the third verse, says this. He hath given us all things that pertain to life. Anything that will happen in life, any problem, any circumstance, any situation, any worry, any anxiety, what neighbor you live next door, what you're facing on the job, what's going, you're worried tonight. I want you to know He has given you all things that pertain to life. When you find yourself saying, I can't take it anymore. I can't put up this with anymore. I'm going to tell you, you can take it and you can make it. I want you to know tonight, hallelujah, He has already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. If heartache comes tomorrow, the Lord has already given you. He said He is the God of all comfort. When brokenheartedness comes, when there's a loss, when there's a difficulty, when there's a heart pain, those are the worst. I'm not talking about a physical heart pain. I'm talking about emotional heart pains. I want you to know He has already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. It comes through the knowledge of Him. Hallelujah. It comes through knowing Him. Hallelujah. I remember when I was young, I used to be very angry and very bitter as a young person. I had hatred in my heart. I hated people. The only thing I lacked was the size to go with it. Because I was this little skinny kid. When I went to high school my freshman year, I weighed 98 pounds. But I got the Holy Ghost. There was a powerful transformation came into my life. Every day I live, I look back on it. I'm amazed and dumbfounded at what God did for that teenage boy. And I read a verse in the Bible, Psalm 27. The reason I hated people and mean was my father, he walked out on me when I needed him really bad. Just came home from school and he was gone. He left me high and dry. He left my mom without a job. He left her without a car. He left her with an 18-year-old son and an 8-year-old son, and that was me. And I was mean because of, I thought it was my fault, and I might have a special place in my heart for children that are missing one of their parents. I just reach out to them. I just love them. I know what they're going through. And I remember I got the Holy Ghost, and just a little while later I read a verse, Psalm 27, I think it's 5. It may not be that verse, but it's in there. It says what I'm telling you it's going to say. He said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Brother Ty, I felt the Lord take me up. And He's never put me down. There have been many times in my life, Brother Ty, I've had to stand alone. I've had to. I must be wired that way. I don't know. But I know the Lord is on my right hand, and none of my steps will slide. I don't just talk that. I know that. When it gets too much for me to handle, I turn it over to Him. When I don't know what to do, He tells me what to do. Sometimes I wish He wouldn't tell me what to do because it wasn't what I wanted to do. You know, but I'm passionate about what I'm talking, preaching tonight in His presence. In His presence. Now, in Psalm, let's look at some things. He said He will show you the way of life. Listen to me. The Lord knows how to deliver the righteous out of temptation, or the godly out of temptation. We're going to fall into temptations. Sometimes they fall on you, sometimes you fall in it. But the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. But I'm going to tell you something else that's even better than that. He knows how to reserve the wicked unto the day of judgment to be punished. Things are unfair. Life is unfair. There's things happening to some of you tonight that are very unfair. And the reason that you're having trouble with it, you say, well, I'm a Christian. How could this be happening to me? I'm going to tell you life is unfair. But God is righteous and just. Now you can get mad and you can scheme and plan to get even or do this or do that. But I'm going to tell you it's better yet to understand that the Lord knows how to deliver you out of the temptation. But He also knows how to reserve the wicked unto the day of judgment to be punished. And when God takes care of it, it is taken care. So I don't have to worry and fret. I don't have to waste my days and nights. I don't have to lose my joy and my peace. I can have peace in the middle of the storm. I can be joyful in the middle of troubles and trials and heartache and sorrow and disappointment. I found out you can have joy when you have been betrayed. I have found out, you know, for betrayal to be true, it has to be somebody very close to you. Those the closest can hurt you the worst. You can fret and fume and steam and complain and be mad or be bitter or be angry. That's your choice. But you just write this all down and etch it on your heart. The Lord knows how to deliver you. But He also knows how to reserve the wicked. You see, but they're getting by. They ain't getting by. I'm telling you what, you touch one of God's kids, you've touched the apple of God's eye. And I'm telling you, you mess with God's kids. I'm telling you. Oh! I'm not just blowing smoke. I'm telling you the truth. The Lord knows those that are His. Consequently, it follows, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, you made you feel good, say, the Lord knows those that are His. I'm His. Well, I'm going to tell you something, there's responsibility to depart from iniquity. Amen. Amen. That's for free. Amen. Now, look at this. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Psalm 97. And verse number 5, if I can get there quickly. I'm going to read some Bible here tonight to you. The Bible preaches for itself. Psalm 97 and 5 says, the hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Now listen. In the mountain, in the Bible, mountains and hills stand for powers and authorities and oppositions. Anybody ever had opposition? I don't like it, but I seem to thrive on it. I don't know why. I just don't know. But anyway, David said, the hills, those things that were framed against you, those things that made your life hard, those things that made your life difficult, will melt like wax in His presence. Hallelujah. you can just become aware of His presence, those things will just melt away. Now, this will sound strange to you. Three of us pastors in California, we were in the same section. We became close friends. And so on most Mondays for a while there, we played golf every Monday. That was our day off. And we were playing golf one day. And I remember I was walking down the fairway pulling my golf cart. Now, I had felt it. I had felt this pressure building up on the inside. You men will know what I'm talking about. You just feel it. It just starts kind of down here, and it just starts going. Now, some of you won't, but you're a milder-natured person. But it's like pressure in a pressure cooker, and that pressure just kind of turns into rage. Now, I wasn't playing bad golf. I didn't have any bad things on my mind. All of a sudden, I found my, and I hadn't felt like that in years. And I'm walking along, and we're laughing, we're talking, and I just feel this pressure building up in me. And finally, my brothers, they went over there, and I'm walking way over on this side of the golf course. I'm dragging my golf cart. And I said, "Now, Jesus, I don't know why I feel like I do right now. I haven't felt like this since I was a sinner. And I ain't no sinner no more. Now, God, I don't know why I feel like this, Lord. I don't like it. It's not right. I don't know why. I couldn't think of anything that even resembled justifying how I felt." And it just kept building up. It's just like my heart was going to collapse. I was so full of rage. And as I walked along, I got off by myself, and I didn't want these brothers to even hear me. I was just talking to Jesus, just exactly how I felt. And I said, "Now, Jesus, this ain't right. Jesus, You delivered me from this a long time ago. Why am I having it now? Jesus, would You help me and take this away? Because before, when I got rage, I wanted to pop somebody, and that just wouldn't be right, you know." And so I'm telling you what happened. It felt like as soon as I cried out to the Lord and said, "Lord, this isn't right. Would You please help me? Would You please help me?" It was like I felt like Jesus reached down somewhere down in here and pulled the plug. And it all drained. It just went boom, and I'm free. And I just walked down the fairway saying, "Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You for Your presence. Hallelujah. Well, I'm aware of You, Lord. You're walking right. I know You don't care about golf. I do, but You don't. But You care about me." And as I begin to be aware of His presence, Sister Jackie, the hills melt at His presence. Is something opposing you in your life? Are you butting up against a stone wall? Do you feel like when you pray, it's ricocheting off of the ceiling? Let me tell you something. He hears you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He hears you. Hallelujah. And not only does He hear, He'll answer. You just got to be aware that He's there. So now, "Lord, I know You're right here. Me and You are in this together. And You said You'd never leave me, You'd never forsake me. Out of this hill, this mountain, this problem, this difficulty, this heartache, that individual has given me grief." You can just sick Jesus on them. Hallelujah. Say, "There they are. God, get them." And when God gets them, they're got. Hallelujah. 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 And so Those problems that seem so insurmountable. Those things in your life that you're struggling with. The problems that you have. You might be saying it's hard to live for God. No, it isn't hard to live for God. No. The way of a transgressor is hard. The Lord said to Saul of Tarsus, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. When you oppose God, when He's trying to direct you in a certain way, and you aren't wanting to have any of it, it is hard. Not because it's hard to live for God. It's hard because we're transgressing. We're going against the grain. So I said, that just rubs the cat the wrong way. Bless God, turn the cat around. Hallelujah. That's what you got to do. You know, if it's ruffling your feathers, turn around the other way. And he'll smooth your feathers. I don't know. I never planned none of this tonight. I just didn't. I just felt these scriptures coming. Now, look at Psalm number... Oh, I didn't finish up in Psalm 16. But let's read Psalm 95, 1 and 2 says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. I cannot tell you the number of nights that I've... It's getting sweeter as I get older. I don't require as much sleep as I used to. But I do require some. I couldn't sleep Monday. I didn't sleep all Monday night. I didn't even show up at work. I didn't show up at work on Tuesday. I couldn't sleep all day. But most of the time. But to wake up in the middle of the night. You can have a song in your heart at night. After every trial. After every mile. Anyone can sing when the sun is shining bright. But you can have a song in your heart in the night. I cannot tell you the number of nights since I have lived here in Gallup that I have awakened in the middle of the night and there was a song in my heart. I didn't sing it at the top of my voice because others were sleeping. But I just begin to sing a song of Zion. I begin to worship Him. Sometimes I might even make up a song because of what I was feeling in my heart. And I'm telling you, the presence of the God, Lord God, would be manifested in that bedroom. And I would begin to sing and worship God. And His presence would move me. I was on the isle called Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus for the kingdom of God. But I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Every day is the Lord's day when you're Holy Ghost filled. He's not tied up to Wednesday and Sunday. Every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. Now, let's go back. There's something in that 16th Psalm. I'm going to read that quickly here. I've got a couple more things here. Psalm 16, when you get there, it's just a short psalm. I just read to you the last verse. Notice this. Just reading it. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to Thee. In other words, there's nothing good in me, Lord, but my soul trusts in You. But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all Thy delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offering of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. Listen to this. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance, and my cup Thou maintainest my lot. The lines, listen to this, are fallen unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. The NIV says, When it says the lines have fallen to me in present places, thy boundaries are pleasant. When you are aware of God's presence, He sets boundaries. I read in one place it says, and he was bragging, he said, the Lord has hedged me in. I've had God, Brother Arnie, hedge me in. I needed a hedge because I was trying to break out where I ought not to be. And he loved me so much. He said, I'm just going to build a hedge of thorns over here. He ain't getting through that. But nothing else is going to get through this way either. I can't get out there. I like it when the Lord makes a boundary. I don't know. I don't understand people that struggle with holiness and separation from the world. I don't understand it. His boundaries are in pleasant places. I live the way I live because I love the way I live. I love Him. I love His ways, His thoughts. I love His precepts. I love His Word. I love His Spirit. I love everything about Him. And so the lines have fallen in pleasant places. So, oh, you folks are in bondage. I heard people, I had some people, yeah, you. We remember, they were apostolic. We remember when God liberated us. I said, no, you just got in jail. You don't know it. I'm free. Amen. You're in bondage. And you got a cruel taskmaster popping the whip and you're saying, yes, I got a master that loves me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. When it says counsel, He's the wonderful counselor. If we would listen to His counsel, we would not have to go to Him so much and ask for His mercy. Okay. And it says He is my reins. That's, well, Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. The next verse says, God talks. He said, I, the Lord, try the reins. Now, I'm not much of a horse rider. I tried to ride them when I was younger, but hopefully I have this big dream of packing back into the mountains on horseback, but I don't know if I can do that or not. But I know this one thing. There's soft-mouthed horses and there's hard-mouthed horses. Hard-mouthed horses, you got to have a spade bit. You got to have a sharp bit in there, and they want to go their own way. Am I telling the truth, brother? I'm a rookie, a greenhorn, but I know that if the horse is headstrong, they put a special bit in that horse's mouth. And when that horse starts throwing his head and starts jerking around, they start pulling on the reins and he shuts up. The Lord tries our reins. He tries our spirits. He deals with us. He tries us because He wants to see how we're going to respond. Are we going to have a hard mouth or a tender mouth? Are we going to be a gentle or are we going to be a bronc? I'm going to tell you, the Lord's never been thrown and never will be. Amen, amen, amen. So He does try the reins. Now, let's look at this. Psalm 73. I got to hurry because I know maybe you're tired. I worked hard today too, but I'm just feeling refreshed. Listen to this. Psalm 73 is a psalm that was written to Asaph. Asaph was one of the chosen families that were worship leaders. They were like choir leaders. They sang. They sang by courses. David set them up, and one of the principal ones was Asaph. And notice what Asaph said. There are several psalms that are directed to him personally in your Bible, and this is one of them. Notice what Asaph, a worship leader, a person up front, supposed to be able to entertain the presence of God, to lead others to be close to God. Notice what he said. He starts off with a very profound statement, and he ends the psalm with a profound statement. But the first one says, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. I want to say, truly, God is good to apostolics, even to them that are of a clean heart. Hallelujah. Now, having said that, he says, but... I don't do that. But as for me, can you now listen, can you imagine a worship leader saying any of this? Listen to this. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He said, I was about to fall. And you'll find out why by listening. Why was his feet almost gone, his steps? For I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands to their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men are. What a lie! They're not in trouble as other men are. The wicked he's talking about. Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, and violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppressions. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. They just blab it everywhere. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out of him. He said, I was envious of the foolish. Looked like everything was going their way. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? This is the wicked talk. And he says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase with riches. Now, this is the guy that's going to lead in worship next Sunday or Sabbath day. And he's thinking all of this stuff. And now notice what he says. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. God won't let me do that stuff. He chastens me. He corrects me. See, if God loves me so much, how much he corrects me? How come he corrects me so much? Because he loves you so much. Did you know the Bible said, he that spareth the rod hates his son? I think some people don't discipline their children because they want their kids to love them. Hey, wait a minute. You got it backwards, Bubba. If you don't correct your children, you raise them up like a bastard. That's what, it's in the Bible. An illegitimate child that doesn't have a daddy to show him right and wrong. But the Lord, the ones he loves, he corrects, he chastens. Listen, you don't need to be afraid of your kids. I felt the Lord speak that to me. You don't need to be afraid of your kids. Well, they won't love me. Oh, yes, they will. Now, I only have one child. Somebody said, well, you're not really a parent. You only have one child. I thought I had 25. I know they'd be different individually, but they would receive the same from dad. You know, different strokes for different folks, but strokes just the same. Now, my daughter, she was easy to parent. Just a few times, Brother Fisher, did I have to spank her. Now, my wife had spanked my daughter, and she had hardly cried. But when she found out Dad was going to give her a spanking, she was crying before anything happened. Now, here's what I did. I love that. She's 45 years old. I love her like I've always had more now. I remember I used to take Nancy off away from everybody else, not in front of other people. She has dignity because we gave her dignity. And I'd go into the bedroom with her, and I'd say, now, Nancy, I'm fixing to give you a whooping. And I'm giving you a whooping because X, Y, Z, whatever it was, I named that child to that. And I said, you know that's wrong? And it ain't going to happen no more because we're going to fix it. And I said, bend over my knee. I gave her a few swats. I swatted her and wanted it to sting. I wanted it to hurt. I swatted her till she cried for a while. And then when she started crying, I was still spanking her. I didn't beat my child. I corrected her. You know, I believe in applied psychology. Instruction to the seed of knowledge. No timeouts, none of that business. That don't work. But I'd let her cry for a while. And then I would take out my handkerchief and I would dry her tears. I said, now you cried enough. The hurting is over. I love you, Nancy. And she would say, I love you, Daddy. And I'd let her go her way. I had to apologize to her a time or two because I spanked her for it. She didn't deserve it. And so I wanted her to understand that Dad is just because God is just. And so I apologized to her. I gave you a spanking yesterday because I thought you did this. I found out you didn't. I can't unspank you, but I'm asking you to forgive me. I messed up. And she would forgive me, and life goes on. God does that to his kids because he loves us. He don't want you to be a bronco somewhere. He wants you to be gentle and kind and on and on. And so Asaph, he's saying, no, I've wasted my time serving the Lord. And he's envying the wicked and on and on and on and on. And he said, if I talk like this, I'll offend the generation coming on. And surely, and he goes on and talks. He says, thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish. Here, 17. And he said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. But listen to verse number 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, and there I understood their end. And he goes on to say, my heart was pricked within me. He goes on to say, I was a dumb beast for envying the wicked. And he said, they're thinking trouble all the time. And then he sums it all up and he said, it is good for me to draw near to God. I want you to understand, it was when he got to the house of God, the things that were bugging him that was causing him trouble, his feet were going to slide, he thought. But when he came into the presence of the Lord, oh, I understand better. I want to tell you today, you don't have to wait till Wednesday or Sunday. You can get in his presence in the bedroom, in the car, on the job, anywhere. And brother, I want to tell you, he will straighten up your vision. You'll see things different. And the joy of the Lord will come into your heart. Now, one more, and then I'm quitting. Hallelujah. Everybody said amen. He's almost done. Psalm 91. I can't read the whole thing. If I do, I'll go off again. I don't need to do that. Let's see. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Listen. A secret place. You can dwell there. And one of the first benefit of dwelling in a secret place is you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now the Romans and the Spartan soldiers, they were very ferocious and vicious and awesome warriors. And they had a term that they used. They called it testudo. It was the overlapping of shields. One shield lapped over the other. They formed a line, particularly the Spartans. They had ranks. And their shields overlapped. Most of them were right-handed because this is the way it was set up. And so the shield of this guy overlapped this one, and the shield of that one overlapped this. And you know what? When a man was being overcome, he was losing strength, he could safely dwell in the shadow of the man on his left. And David said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I want to abide under His shadow. I want to live in His shadow. I want to know He's there, because He said, I'll never... David said, the Lord is on my right hand. I shall not be moved. Now listen to this. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. What is your refuge tonight? It's not uncommon for people when they're under pressure, Brother Fisher, if they're not careful, they will go back to the old things. And that must not happen. Because the adversary will have you in condemnation. But we can't do that. We must not do that. The Lord has got to be my refuge. Listen to this. Surely, that means beyond a doubt, He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Now, as a boy, I knew how to snare birds. An orange crate, some breadcrumbs, a stick and a string. And I spread the breadcrumbs, propped up the orange crate with the stick with the string tied to the bottom, hid over, and watched the bird follow the primrose path. When he got in there, bang, got him. But David said, He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Do you know what a fowler is? A fowler is a man that hunts with a falcon or an eagle, or some with a bird of prey, maybe a red-tailed hawk or whatever. And he trains that hawk. And here comes Mr. Duck, just a-cruising along, not suspecting nothing, just going. And up above is Mr. Falcon or Mr. Eagle. And that eagle or falcon will tuck their wings, and they'll come down like a guided missile. And at the last minute, they'll flare those wings and grab the bird with its claws and haul it off. But if you abide under the shadow of the Almighty, He will protect you from the snare of the fowler. Hallelujah. Let's stand. He says in the 7th verse, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with your eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. He goes on to say, because He has set His love upon me, therefore, God says, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will deliver him. And I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The presence of the Lord. His presence is here. He's moving right now. If your heart is aching, run to the refuge. If your heart is aching, if you are in trouble, I know I'm talking to some people in trouble. It may not even be of your making. That's the worst kind. But I want to tell you right here, in His presence is fullness of joy. The pain, the hurt, the sorrow, the ache. You just come to Him. You say, Lord, I'm in Your presence. You live in me, I live in You. I'm calling on You now. I'm telling you, He will answer you right now. There's such a sweet presence of the Lord here right now. Hallelujah. You can tell Him anything and everything. You can talk plainly and directly to Him. You don't have to hold back anything. I'm telling you, Jesus is here right now. I feel so powerfully in what we're preaching tonight. I know the message is for everybody, but It's for some people indirectly tonight. Hallelujah. Let's begin to worship Him. Lift up those hands. And let's begin to talk to the Lord. Hallelujah. Tell Him all about it. Hallelujah. Tell Him all about it. Hallelujah. Turn it over to Him. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.